Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. The Bible says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." In the New Living Translation of that same passage, it says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." And today we're going to continue our subject from last week, get free and stay free. We talked last week some about what it meant to be free. And some of the definitions that we gave that we found in the Webster's Dictionary were: to be free means to enjoy personal liberty. It meant to be able to do something at will. It means to be exempt or clear from restrictions, obstacles, obstructions, and or interference. It means to be exempt or to be released from something specified that controls, restrains, or burdens. To be free also meant to be able to act autonomously. In other words, it means that you are able to act as a free moral agent. It means that you are free from the control of others. You are able to be self-governed and are not controlled by outside forces. It also means that you are not controlled by obligation or the will of another. It is interesting that not even God imposes his will on us. Not even God imposes his will on us. When we're in a position where we allow other people, other things to impose their will on us, we're in a dangerous position. If God doesn't do it, that means nobody has a right to do it. Amen? And so we find in reading of the scripture that God's desire, God's design is that we live as free people. We looked at that in Leviticus 26 and 13, where it says that he delivered them from the slavery of the Egyptians and he broke their power over them so that they could live as free people. So we see that that is the desire of God. But God didn't stop there. We also found in Galatians 5 and 13a that we were called to liberty. And so we talked a little bit about calling. We talked about what it meant to be called. And we discovered that calling was not limited by external circumstances or situations. And so where you are right now, what you're going through right now, does not dictate calling. It does not limit calling. It does not hinder calling. It only speaks to where you are right now, but calling speaks to your end. It speaks to what you're called to. It speaks to your purpose. It speaks to your destiny. And so what that says to us is not only did God purpose or predestine that we walk in calling, but calling also spoke to the fact that that is how God sees us. So when God called us to freedom, it also says that God sees us as free people. He sees us as free people. That's how the Hebrew boys can be thrown into the fiery furnace bound. But even in the midst of a fiery situation, they're walking around free. Because God called them free people. So we discovered last week that we are not people in bondage trying to get free, but people who are free, who the enemy is trying to put in bondage. We're not people who are in bondage seeking to be free, but we are people who are free that the enemy is seeking to put in bondage. I am not behind bars. I'm not in a jail cell. I'm not locked up in a prison anywhere, but I am on the outside of the prison and the enemy is trying to put me behind bars. That's the reality of the situation. That's the reality of the world that we're living in, is that the enemy is always seeking an occasion to put us in bondage. He is always seeking an occasion to cause us to be wrapped up and tied up and tangled up in something. I understand the words of Paul now when Paul said that all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That I'm free to do a lot of things, but I'm not going to allow anything to control me. And so we find that there are a lot of people in the body of Christ who should be free, but in reality, in actuality, they're living in bondage. In actuality, they're in some little cell held up somewhere, and they are alienated from the liberty that we found in Christ.
And so how do we know? We discovered last week that we know that we are emphatically in a free place because the Bible tells us in John 8:36 that if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And so we talked about if God has delivered you, why should you be bound? Why should I still be in a place of bondage when I have clearly and truly been made free? That there is nothing that any devil in hell can do with the freedom and the liberty that I've been given. Mm-hmm. And so we also discovered our last point from last week that it is the Lord's will to make us free. We see that that was the purpose of Jesus's earthly ministry. The Bible tells us in Acts 10:38 that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. He went about healing people that were in bondage. He went about liberating people that were in bondage. We talked about how Jesus went into the temple. He sat down. He pulled out the book of Isaiah. He began to read it. The passage said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me." And he began to explain all the things that he was anointed to do, opening of the sight to the blinds and opening the prison doors and setting the oppressed and the captive free. And then he said, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your sight." In other words, you looking at it. You don't have to wander. You don't have to look any further. Deliverance is sitting right here in your face. And you don't have to leave this place in bondage. You can leave in liberty if you choose to. I feel good right there. I feel good right there. Because that lets me know that where I am is not where I have to stay. What I'm going through is not my final holding place. It is not my final destination. I'm just going through this place, but it's not going to hold me. I tell you what, you can't touch this. As a matter of fact, death and hell couldn't even hold Jesus. Yeah. He had to get up. So if he got up, what you think you gonna do? The Bible tells us this. It says that we were baptized with Christ, that just as he was raised from the dead, that we might walk in newness of life. So that lets me know that if death, old dead things couldn't keep Jesus down, old dead things can't do nothing with you either. So we talked about that years ago. We had a saying that we used to say that if you're in bondage, since we've discovered that Jesus has willed that we be free, that God has called us to be free, that Jesus made the way for us to be free. He didn't stop there. He gave us a comforter and a keeper to make sure that we stay free. So in all of that, if you got all of that, you got a word that liberates, a word. He sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from all of our destruction. So you got all of this and you're still in bondage. What does that say? You're bound because you want to be. You're bound because your mind has not changed. You're bound because you have not been able to see beyond where you were. You have not been able to grasp a glimpse of God's future and destiny for your life. You have not been able to quite get an imagination or get an image in your mind of the image that God has when he sees you. So you still see yourself as something that you're not anymore. So you're still living an old life even though you are a new person. And I just read, I read, I don't know what you read, but my Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. All things are passed away. All things are become new. So that means where I was, it can't hold me. That how I used to live, it can't do nothing with me. I just saw something else. You know, when Jesus was resurrected, he came back and they wanted to fool him. He said, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me yet." He said, "Don't touch me. Don't touch. Because I ain't got, you know, I got to put on my glorified body. Because this old thing got to go on the way somewhere. Don't fool with the old thing. Hold on. Let me get in my new stuff and I'll come back. Then we can touch all you want. We can touch all you want. Because, you know, I got the new thing on. I don't have the restrictions of the old thing. I don't have the things that held me down anymore because I've shed that. I read in my Bible that says that my old life is hid somewhere. It's hid somewhere. Can you find it? It's hid with Christ in God. I died, but now it's no more I, but Christ who lives in me. And if he is living in me and the Spirit of the Lord is on him and has anointed him to go about and make you free. And if he made you free indeed. And brother, get this now, but he's living on the inside of you. How is it possible for you to be in bondage? How is it possible? Get it in your mind. How is it possible? You say that Christ lives in you. And if he makes you free indeed. Get this now. Get this. He is no longer bound. He is free. He is the spirit of liberty. He is the epitome of freedom. Living on the inside of you, how can any bondage hold you? Now, I got to mess with this. I got to mess with this because we have to understand why we still struggle in places of bondage. We have to understand. So we find that there are some paradoxes of freedom or paradoxes to freedom. A paradox are two things that are opposed to each other, but they are existing within the same realm or the same time or the same situation. That he's saying you're free, but at the same time you're bound. How can I be free and bound at the same time? How can this work? And so there are some paradoxes that we find that some of us really don't understand. That's why we keep ending up in places of bondage. Look at this. At no point in time are we totally free in the sense of doing whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. Let me say it again. At no point in time are we totally free in the sense of being able to do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. If that is your mindset, what you have to understand is that that way of thinking in and of itself leads to bondage. Because you have to understand that it is the people that don't have any form of restraint that always end up in bondage. People that just do whatever they want, whenever they want, however they want, always end up in some mess. They always end up in trouble. They always end up with something that they captured or caught along the way that now they can't get rid of. Oh, they were big and bad enough to do all kinds of things, but now they ain't big and bad enough to get rid of the consequences of those things. See, when I was younger, I remember people used to say, go on and sow your wild oats. But they didn't tell you that sooner or later that those wild oats grow. And so you sow wild oats and barley and okra and corn and things. And so now you have a whole vegetable garden growing and you're trying to get rid of the effects of that mess. And nobody told you that one day you would have to live with the results of what you were doing. They just told you to do what felt good, do what feels good for the moment, but doing what feels good for the moment sometimes has long-term ramifications that you can't quite shake at will. You have to live with them. Sometimes my mom used to say, you made your bed hard, now lie in it. So now you got a hard bed you don't like to lie in, but you made it that way. And so we see in Galatians 5 and 13, the Message Bible says this: it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. It's clear. There's no question about that. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom.